Low, low prices in every suburb.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Home prices are back to where they were in March 2004. The Case-Shiller Index out this morning reports an 18% drop in the price of single-family homes. That's October 2008 compared to October of last year. It stinks if you're trying to sell, but we all know home prices, at least in some places, had become outrageous. A company that got into the mortgage business at the wrong time was GMAC. It's a car financing company, and until last night, it was about dead in the water. But you, the taxpayer, stepped in with another bailout. The government is taking a $5 billion stake in GMAC. And it's coming out of the money for banks since GMAC was allowed to become a bank. Marketplace's Steve Henn has more.
GMAC has been scrambling for weeks to get a piece of the bailout pie. GM's finance arm was in tough shape. During the housing boom, it branched out from its core business, making car loans, and became one of the most aggressive home lenders in America.
After that happened, home lending self-destructed.
Keith Crane publishes Automotive News. He says the housing crisis left GMAC too strapped to make many car loans, and that's crushed GM's sales. With this cash infusion, GMAC's books suddenly look a lot better. But Crane's not optimistic that'll mean more sales for GM.
GMAC is going to want to make money, and they're not going to want to subsidize the sales of General Motors.
When GMAC was founded decades ago, its entire purpose was to help move cars off the lot. But now, as a standalone bank, it has to answer to its own shareholders and keep banking regulators happy. In Washington, I'm Steve Henn for Marketplace.
Wall Street's year is mercifully almost over. So far, the Dow is up 56 points, 0.5% to 85.40. The NASDAQ has gained 12 in the early going. The S&P 500 is up 5 points. Earlier, Japan wrapped up its trading for 2008. The Nikkei had its worst year ever, a 42% loss. European shares are up 1% to 2% so far. To paraphrase Yogi Berra, 90% of the economy is half mental. So much of the fallout we've seen is driven by psychology, the fear of investing, the confidence to spend. This morning, we get the latest consumer confidence numbers. You'd think they have to turn around at some point, but as Yogi said, the future ain't what it used to be. Here's our senior business correspondent, Bob Moon.
Forget the old saying, wait till next year. We may have another year of waiting before consumer confidence makes any real turnaround. Bernard Baumol heads the Economic Outlook Group in Princeton, New Jersey. He says mounting job losses and relentless housing market worries are accentuating the negative for American consumers.
Even though gasoline prices have fallen significantly, it's just not enough to really offset some of the other major problems that households are facing on a daily basis.
Baumol hopes the new president's stimulus package will improve consumer attitudes, but he cautions there's no quick fix.
Even the second half of the year is not a time when I think households are going to uncork champagne bottles and start throwing confetti in the belief that the worst is over.
Don't figure Baumol for a complete pessimist. He does see a brighter new year, a year from now.
2009 is going to be a year of recovery, of recuperation. It sort of sets the stage for a much better economy in 2010.
Which raises the question of what kind of psychological impact a prediction like that has on consumer confidence. I'm Bob Moon for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by the Henry Luce Foundation, seeking to increase American understanding of East and Southeast Asia.
We continue now our series of year-end interviews. We're not looking back on 2008. You know what happened. We're looking ahead, and today's topic is China. We're joined by our correspondent in Shanghai, Scott Tong. Scott, remind us where China's economy stands right now.
Well, China's getting walloped like the rest of the world is. Just a couple months ago, the optimists were wondering if China could be the savior of the global economy, that it could keep buying things like iron ore and energy and Buicks, and Chinese people would still keep going to Starbucks and keep the global economy going. Nobody is saying that anymore. A lot of job losses. There's a big rumor going around that a company that makes the most iPods and laptops in the universe, may lay off 60,000 workers in southern China before long.
Wow.
So it's hitting hard here.
And what are the scenarios for China's economy in 2009?
Let me give you the good one first, Scott. That is that by next spring, Beijing's massive stimulus package, which is basically a whole lot of infrastructure spending, starts to kick in. And as China builds more roads and bridges and buildings, it will import a lot more of the raw materials it needs to do that. That could bring up commodities prices and energy prices, and investors could get more confident around the world.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the bad case scenario is if the slowdown hits China much more, and some people are talking about a hard landing scenario, you could have social instability. I mean, China sits on this political fault line. The government is an unelected government. And basically, when people are happy, nobody tends to complain much here. But you never know. If
mm-hmm.
growth slows down to a small number, which for China would be 5% growth, we don't know what happens.
And of course, we can't talk about China without talking about the U.S. and China. Where does that stand?
Well, China was the world's lender and the lender to the United States, and that helped to blow up the housing bubble, at least indirectly. And that relationship, of course, is over now that that bubble is no longer. So now the U.S. and China have to sort out a new relationship between the two of them and on their own. Because just as the United States economy can't just depend on consumption and buying cheap things from China,
mm-hmm.
China has to get away from exporting its way to economic growth. The way this thing could go badly for U.S.-China relations, though, is if Beijing tries too hard to rescue some of the exporters, either by cheating on the currency or choosing other trade tactics that other countries would consider protectionist, you may have a trade war that starts to brew. Who knows how that's going to play across the world, especially with the new Obama administration coming in.
Our correspondent in Shanghai, Scott Tong, Happy New Year.
All right, Scott. Happy New Year to you. Thanks.
Share your opinions with us at marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for listening and have a great day.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.